All right, our next case is Cromar versus Cedar Hills. Are both parties present?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Adam Walquist and Jake Green with for Cedar Hills. Cromar here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So everybody's here. Nobody's on the phone this time.
Right.
That's good.
Yes, sir. I hope.
Wow. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
So let's just start with both parties introducing each other, or introducing you to the committee and to the rest of the room. Go ahead.
Pardon me. My name is Ken Cromar, former city councilman in Cedar Hills from 1994 to 2000. The lead researcher for an ad hoc committee, Cedar Hills Citizens Committee, called Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Government. Have a number of people who wanted to be here but have sent letters in place of. Mr. Jerry Deringer will be here shortly. Yes.
You can address that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Adam Walquist and Jake Green, we are attorneys for Cedar Hills. We're here with representatives from Cedar Hills and most notably Ms. Moldy, who will be providing testimony later on.
Thank you. So to start, I'll just ask both parties to acknowledge. Oh, I'm sorry. I do have a statement from Holly for both parties to consider.
So I know both Mr. Cromar and the mayor, and I just wanted people to know that.
Is there any?
If there's an objection, I can.
Is there any objection to proceeding with Holly as part of the committee?
No.
In this hearing.
Okay. No objection, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so I need both parties to acknowledge that communications or mediation with the Government Records Ombudsman cannot be used in this appeal hearing or in any administrative hearing or provided as testimony according to the Utah Mediation Act. Do both parties acknowledge that restriction?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, I think you're both familiar, Mr. Cromar. I don't think you've been here since we changed our procedure, so there is no longer a 5-minute opening statement. We go straight to the 20-minute testimony, and then 5 minutes to close for each party. And we'll start with you, and then after testimony, we deliberate publicly and render a decision. Do you have any questions about procedures?
No, I'm just surprised that you would remember. Thank you. That's a good mind.
Okay, so let's proceed then. 20 minutes.
May I pass out some papers?
Can you give that to the secretary?
Thank you for your time, esteemed committee. We know that you serve as volunteers and maybe get some gas money and. Am I right? And so thank you for what you do to try to help make sure that we the people of Utah are protected in their records. Oftentimes, unfortunately, government seems to forget that they work for us and that they're accountable to us. And frankly, we, having been a city councilman, know that there's great value in having people pay attention to what we're doing and that that's actually a way we can help government be successful, open, honest, and transparent is by watching what they're doing so that they know they are being watched and can fight against the temptations to go other directions. We'd like to begin by apologizing that we have not figured out how in Cedar Hills to get the public record as it relates for particularly to a golf course that came online about 2004. On the promise of making $400,000 a year if you'll bond for it. It'll keep our taxes down, et cetera. What resulted is immediate losses to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars. which now averages $582,000 a year in losses. That's almost a $1 million swing the opposite direction. That's $982,000 swing the opposite direction. And yet, we have the hardest time getting information. The document that you have in front of you, this one demonstrates we just went through the recent, we grammar requested the city's files as it relates to grammar requests, and we asked for all of them, and unfortunately I just noticed yesterday that these only went back to 2011, so there's probably more records requesting golf information that didn't show up from the city's grammar response. But that's not uncommon. We have a hard time getting information from the city. When we can get it, it's usually minimal, and we have never had confidence that we've received everything that we've asked for. So I'd like to begin by reading some letters from people that wanted to be here, starting with Russ and Linda Fotheringham. To the Utah State Records Committee, as 17-year residents of Cedar Hills, we are so desirous that finally there be public transparency about golf-related records, including free golf. There have been so many grammar requests that have not been honored. We have and do now support Ken Cromer, who is representing us today, as we have prior commitments. Please give him credence and opportunity to present the work of his many efforts to bring honesty and relationship to these matters. We are grateful to him, etc. Then a letter from a Sam Bushman, a talk show host who made grammar requests and actually participated in requested mediation with Rosemary Cundiff, at which Cedar Hills council members were at, and the mayor and the council members, as well as our committee. And he writes, in recent years, many Cedar Hills residents have petitioned Cedar Hills City over and over asking that they provide grammar requested golf-related documents. And in the most recent claim, they now say that the records are irretrievable. As a talk show host of more than 25 years and a citizen reporter, I have personally grammar requested golf-related records, and when Stonewall compelled to involve services of government records ombudsman Rosemary Cundiff. Even with her assistance, we don't believe that we obtained an honest complaint fulfilling of my grammar request. We provided them an opportunity to be open, honest, and transparent, and they refused to fulfill their legal obligations to Cedar Hills residents. He goes on to explain some few other things, and I will provide these letters via email later. They came in last night and this morning. Finally, as far as letters go, Rob Crowley, a former city councilman of Cedar Hills, writes, please pass along the following message to the Records Committee. My name is Rob Crowley. I was on the Cedar Hills Council between 2014 and 2017. I can attest to the fact that the information I forwarded to the city, and I should point out, the information that we were asking for that has not been provided was just 2 weeks ago forwarded back to the city from this council member, was given to me by city management and was downloaded from the Par9 software that the city used for tracking activity on their golf course. I believe that everyone would benefit if Cedar Hills would be more forthcoming with information regarding the golf course to residents that inquire about the activities of the golf course. Disseminating facts and information about the golf course will appease those who want to know the facts. If there are ever any wrongdoings, it would bring those things to light so that they could be resolved more quickly. I see no downside to providing information to the residents in an efficient and inexpensive manner. Alternatively, when the requests are dodged, delayed, or provided at a high cost, this sows distrust with residents. I will add to this that Mr. Crowley and I made a grammar request in behalf of our group early October, the 9th. It's on your list there. They usually wait till the latest possible moment to reply. At that point, they said it would take 2 weeks of research, and that would cost $2,400 to get the free golf records. We then requested a meeting with Chandler Goodwin, the city manager, and Colleen Mulvey about this issue. We sat for an hour or so at the golf course and explained, this is not a hard thing. You simply go into the data and ask and make a sort. We coached them on how they could just simply ask their IT people to get the information, and sheepishly, not long after, we received not only the report but a no charge on the request. This is the kind of frustration that we go through on a regular basis. Jenny Reese, current mayor writes in the second paragraph of this paper, well, first two paragraphs, where inaccurate information is publicly advanced, the city feels it's in the interest of the community to provide an accurate and correct summary. Recently, statements made on the public website, our website, cedarhillcitizens.org, present inaccurate or incomplete information regarding the city records. The city wishes to address those statements. The claim has been made that the city has destroyed golf-related records, that cost estimates given to retrieve records are arbitrary in an effort to discourage record requests, and the city officials refuse to provide golf course financials to residents of Cedar Hills. These claims are false. There's many other things that are parsed throughout this document, but the bottom line is we cannot seem to get records. So the claim is that the city's claim, we've petitioned numerous times through Rosemary Cundiff and requested mediation. We've done it in the past. And maybe it's for this reason. Let me just have a, the city's disinclined because of, the city's also, here we go. I believe this will play.
It's not in the format of
this is the city attorney. Let me just tell you what he's to say so that you can listen for it. At this mediation, he explained that the emails that we had requested were not going to be provided. Why? Because they were turned into paper and the emails were deleted. That's the discussion.
Well, it's been printed out and placed in a different file. It's not considered an email anymore. It's a record, and that's maybe how it was originally received, but it's now a paper file that is somewhere else.
Can I get a clarification on that? Is this something from a mediation?
It cannot be.
Yeah, you
oh,
can't.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
You know, my apologies. I did notice that was mentioned earlier, and I completely forgot about it. I imagine, though, that a state records committee recording would be acceptable. The city has often claimed that we have never succeeded in our efforts to get records through the records committee. They've done it in many public places, said that we have never succeeded. This is former Judge Daniels at his very last committee hearing making this motion ordering the city to provide records that they had been keeping on their private servers and allowed to be destroyed, including the current city council, city attorney, who is not here, who used to be a city councilman, but whose wife was one of those people that destroyed those records, allowed them to be destroyed.
Hold on. Can you stop the recording for a second?
If I understand correctly, this has nothing to do with the records he's seeking to obtain.
Well, it's his time for testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As long as it's not prohibited, he can say what he wants.
Really, most about this case is the question of what pool of documents is it. I'm very uncomfortable with the thought that governmental employees or officials can all of a sudden just go to a private account and then keep that from public disclosure. I don't think that's right the law. I think just as they can have private communications on the city server, they could write a love letter or something, and it's still private. And it doesn't matter that it's on the city server. And if it's on their own account, it's still a public record. It's the public's business, and it still belongs to the city. And if these council people say, no, I'm not going to produce it, they've got to tell them you've got to. It belongs to the city. If somebody says, I've eliminated everything over 90 days old, then I think that's a problem for that person because it belongs to the city. My suspicion is it's still in there somewhere, you know, somewhere in the kind of life stuff was eliminated and experts have been able to find it. But I think they've got to produce that. It belongs to the city and it belongs to the citizens if it's disposable.
So there you have it. The reason I even brought these things in was to demonstrate the pattern of deception, delay, desire to, contrary to what the mayor says, discourage record requests. You've got 30 just since 2011 in front of you, and we have never felt that we've been dealt with honestly and completely. And this most recent request demonstrates that very thing. Is somebody running a timer? I'd like to know where I'm at.
Got about 5 minutes.
Thank you. Could I get a 2-minute notice if somebody, thank you. So my point is this. The city claims that the records are irretrievable without explaining exactly what that means. Meaning, what I mean by that is they say, well, we've asked and the software company's out of business and all of that, fine. You've now provided back records that we helped you figure out how to get. Why won't you simply sign a new disclosure or statement, declaration, a new one, that says that now you have indeed provided all the records as per the grammar request? This could have been solved without your attention whatsoever. Since those numerous requests for mediation have happened and been rejected at every turn, new records have come forward, or the records have come forward from a city council member who had them. The city has actually rejected requests that they're within the time frame, saying we don't have records, when we now have proof that they indeed did have records. We simply ask the committee two things. One, would you please order the city of Cedar Hills to sign a declaration that indeed they have provided all responsive records on these two grammar requests. And number two, that they indeed provide the records back that council member Crawley has returned to them that they can work from. I was waiting for Mr. Derringer so that he could read this into the record himself. He will be here shortly. Give me one moment, please. Mr. Derringer writes, in the event it may be of any assistance to you in connection with today's hearing, may I add my statement that I have worked with you, meaning Ken, he wrote this to me, and other members of CHCRG, which would be Cedar Hill Citizens for Responsible Government, for at least the past 7 years in an attempt to obtain complete and competent records from the city of Cedar Hills regarding free golf records, among other requests. It has been difficult and discouraging experience, which has cost considerable money and untold hours of time, which we really don't have, to try to reach the truth. The latest act of the city refusing to verify the accuracy and validity of golf records obtained by former City Councilman Rob Crowley is indicative of what we have experienced time and time again over the last several years. If the records do not now exist, it is only because the city's failure to properly maintain them, at least for a year, by the way, according to their own policy. And I cannot conceive as to why they will not verify or at least state that they have no reason to believe the records Mr. Crawley provided back to them have been tampered with and are thus inaccurate. Why is the city now spending so much money? By the way, these are defense attorneys. On this hearing, rather than just stating that they either have not produced all the records requested. So in conclusion, I would just say that I've reached out to former Councilman Joel Wright, current city attorney, asking for mediation. No. Asked for an extension. He got it. Under difficult circumstances on a personal level, asked for a delay into next month, was refused. We just do not understand why we are treated so harshly when aunt is the truth, and the city to come clean on these issues that have mattered and been controlled and manipulated by the city for a number of years now. And we would respectfully request that the committee make a motion to order the city to sign a document that says that they have now fulfilled all those the responsive records, and provide the records that are contained while providing the records that Councilman Crawley has provided back to the city. I rest my time, if that's how you say it.
Petitioner. Okay, we'll go to 20 minutes for the respondent.
This is perhaps a little bit of a moving target.
I'm sure his mic is on. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just saying that this is a little bit of a moving target for me. I
was under the impression that we were seeking additional documents by way of this petition, but I understand that he's just looking for some reassurance that we fully complied with his request for records, and he also wants, secondly, the city to authenticate some records that were provided by a third party. I think we can address both issues today. With respect to giving him some reassurance that he's got a complete response, I believe some of the exhibits I'll show you soon and the testimony of Ms. Mulvey will show that that's been given, and we'll give it again today. As to the second one, we certainly can't authenticate the records given from a third party that we didn't receive directly, and Ms. Mulvey can explain that a little more fully. To get to that point, Mr. Chairman, if my colleague here might, I guess, provide the secretary some exhibits that we could go through. And at the same time, I'll have you sit here, Ms. Mulvey. I'd like to call Ms. Mulvey. Would you turn it and swear her in?
Thank you.
Mulvey, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you shall give in this matter pending before the State Records Committee shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you.
Ms. Mulvey, will you state your full name for the record?
Pauline Ann Mulvey.
Where are you employed?
City of Cedar Hills.
And what is your position?
I'm the city recorder.
How long have you been in that position?
Just about 6 years.
Do you have any duties with regard to the request?
Yes, I do. I am the city's certified records officer, so I handle all of the grammar requests initially when they come in.
Are you familiar with Mr. Coman, the grammar request you made on behalf of Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Opinion?
Yes, I am.
Will you look at respondents and give me climate change? Have you had a chance to look at those?
Yes.
And what are these documents?
There are three separate grammar requests submitted by Ken Cromer, researcher for Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Government.
I'm sorry, which exhibits are we talking about?
One, five, and seven.
1, 5, and 7.
A 1, 5, and 7.
Could you just speak into the microphone a little better? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so 1, 5, and 7, I am familiar with their three grammar requests submitted by Ken Cromer, researcher for Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Government.
And generally, what do these records requests look for?
Basically asking for individuals or groups or anyone who has golfed for free at the Cedar Hills golf course.
And you received these requests?
Yes.
And what did you do when you received the requests?
Met with our golf operations staff and talked to them about how we're going to retrieve these records, and then responded to Mr. Cromer.
Okay, so you prepared a response?
I did.
A written response?
Yes.
Will you look at exhibits R2, 6, and 8? Have you had a chance to look at those?
Yes.
And are those the responses you prepared?
They are.
You also look at exhibits R3 and 4.
Okay.
Are you familiar with these documents?
Yes.
And what are they?
Document 3 is my email where I attached a 66-page document, which is item number 4. And that's a report from our current software that we use at the golf course. It's called ForUp, F-O-R-E-U-P, how they log in and track golfers.
Obviously, Exhibit 4 is our documents. We looked at 2, 3, 6, and 8 as well. These are document responses, but did you provide documents with those responses?
Yes, like I said, that tee time report, that's item number 4, was provided. And then if we go to...
Hold on. I'm sorry.
So this one was provided in response to the three requests, or are they kind of...
Number one, because they're all the requests are very similar.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And
this is just a representative sample, right? You said
exactly.
It's 66
not
pages.
All 66 pages.
Right. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we do have that if
Mr.
you want
Chair.
To see
okay.
them all.
Thank you.
Would you like a copy?
Not right now.
And in addition to those, if you'll look at tab 13 of the exhibits, or 13. And what are these?
Okay, the first two pages, that's a report that we forwarded, we compiled and forwarded. And then the next two sections are just manually tracking employee golf, because that's one of our employees' fringe benefits. So our staff manually records those. The last two that are in this section 13 are not from city records at all. I believe these are the ones that were sent by former council member Crawley that he said he got from Par 9, our old software company.
And you provided those to Mr. Cromar as well?
Yes.
Wait. Never mind. Go ahead.
So, Ms. Moldy, did you or did the city produce everything within its custody and control with respect to Mr. Cromar's requests?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question about the last two sections? You said, you testified that these are the documents that were provided by former councilman
Crawley, correct.
Now, I thought that you didn't provide these, but you just said you did provide them.
We provided them after we got them from Mr. Crawley.
Okay. So the question from Mr. Cromar that these be authenticated, is that a different set of documents that we're talking about?
No, Mr. Chairman, those are the exact documents.
Okay, so you did provide them, but you didn't authenticate them, is that
correct?
Right? Okay, thank you.
That's correct, and just by way of argument, I think the objection to authenticating them is that they didn't receive them from Part 9, who actually held them and received them to give them some kind of verification that these are in fact the records that they held for the city. Instead, we received them through a third party that's handed them to us, so we have a chain of custody or control by which we can say these are valid city documents. They purport to be, they look like it, but the city's not in a position to say they are.
Chair. And so Par 9 records are no longer available as a vendor.
Yes, let me ask her some quick
questions. We'll get into that.
Are you familiar with Par 9?
Yes, that's the software company that the golf staff used years ago. We no longer use that. We use 4UP.
During what years, if you have an understanding, did the city use Par 9?
I don't know what year they started, but I know it was December of 2014 when they stopped using them and changed software.
And what exactly did Par 9 do? What did their software do for the city?
I'm going to say keep track of who golfed on what day and how many rounds they pay for and that type of thing. To be perfectly honest, I've never used that software. I don't work at the golf course.
When you received Mr. Cromar's request, did you reach out to Par 9 to see if they had documents that would have been responsive to your request, or did the city do that?
The city did.
Okay. And were those efforts to reach out to Par 9 successful?
No.
Why not?
We found out that Par 9 went out of business.
In your opinion, has the city produced all responsive records in its possession, custody, or control?
Yes.
Okay, I turn the witness to the committee for any questions.
Did you get an answer to your question? Okay. So, if you can you describe how the decision to switch systems occurred and how it was implemented, or do you have knowledge of that?
Do you have knowledge of that?
I do not.
Okay.
And I don't have that for you. Sorry, Mr.
Chairman. Okay.
I would note, as Mr. Cromar indicated earlier, the city's retention policy with respect to this is 1 year anyway. We're talking
about... That was my next question. Thank you.
2017 and for records that predate 2014 or 2014 and earlier. So.
Is that policy documented somewhere?
It is, to my understanding, yes. It's a city policy that's in writing.
It's in our city's retention schedule. Classify them as reservation records.
Okay. Reservation records, okay.
I have a question regarding under four, tea time detail reports. You said this is just a sample of what that report is. You said it's 66 pages?
Correct.
Are they all complimentary rounds on those 66 pages? Oh, no, I just wondered.
No, I believe some of them have a different description. Like, it says volunteer round on some of these, employee round. So there's different reasons why people would be comped.
But they would all be free rounds?
Correct.
Okay, so there would be, and there's 27 listings here. So it would be safe to say that 27 times 66 would give some kind of a number as to how many free rounds were played?
It would be.
And this shows the date range of October of 2014 to October of 2017. Didn't you switch your companies you were working with somewhere in between there?
Yes. And you can see if that's page one, it starts with a date in 2015.
Oh. Oh, you're right. Okay.
But we just had them do the search for that time frame.
Okay, so when the switch didn't preclude you from being able to determine this report, even though you were going between two different software companies, is that right? About how many complimentary rounds are played here? Because it looks to me like you were using one software company, maybe software is not the right word, one accounting company or whatever, and then switched to another. But this report seems to indicate the area covered by both of those from 2015 on. I mean, I'm just wondering if you...
I think, and I'm sorry to interrupt if
you... No, that's fine.
Your question. I think the PAR 9 software was 2014 and earlier, and this other software was 2015 and later.
Okay, so this is a report that was generated by 2015.
What would have been obtained from the other software.
Which is called, what'd you call it? Four?
Four Up.
Four Up, okay. Okay, that was my question.
Other questions for the respondent?
When was your retention schedule adopted?
July of 2016.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that question. What was it?
The Cedar Hills has a retention schedule, and it was adopted in July of 2016?
Correct.
It was shortened to 1 year, by the way. Okay.
The council member that provided these records from... R9, what was his name again?
Rob Crawley,
and did he, as he, when he provided you with these, did he say how he obtained these? Just,
I believe he just said he got them from PAR9.
He just got them from PAR9 before they went out of business, and or no information like that. I don't think
we're competent to answer that. We just know that we received them from him, and they purport to be records that predate.
Okay, thank you.
I guess one more question for me. Under 13 at the very back, those two fairly extensive reports, greens fees by customer by date is, and tell me what I'm missing here because I'm not the brightest. Where on this report does it show, as example of pages 1 through 6 of 258, where does it show what greens fee were collected? Or does it? Does it just say that they collected greens fees from these golfers? Without the specific amount? Or do you know?
I don't. These are the reports we received from Mr. Crowley. They purport to be something in the nature of this Par 9 software document. So we produced them to Mr. Cromar. We don't know how it might be useful to him, or if any, and we obviously can't authenticate it for the reasons I stated earlier, but it is among the documents that we presented to you.
Do you have a different green fee for residents of Cedar Hills versus those of us who've played there who don't live there?
I'm deferring to our city manager. He's saying yes.
Okay. I'm just, because I saw on a couple of things it says CH resident, and I suppose there was a reason that was designated. All right, I don't have any other questions.
Any other questions from the committee? Mr. Cromar, you have 5 minutes to close.
Very good. My friend Jerry Deringer will join me up here. In closing, in our last 5 minutes, Jerry, I'm wondering if Ms. Mulvey could explain when these records were provided back to us, the ones that have been...
You just have to...
Deal with that later.
You've got
That's
5 minutes.
So let me cut to the chase on the issue here. Let me take you to page 3 of this form.
I apologize. You do have the right to question the witness. I failed. So you can ask your question.
Oh, thank you.
And this is not part of your 5 minutes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate knowing that because I did have a few questions. I didn't want to...
My bad. Sorry.
I wonder if Ms. Mulvey could tell me what date the last two sets of documents that we were just looking at came or were provided to the grammar requester. What date, please? And is there an accompanying letter to that?
I'm going to say I'm not exactly sure. Those were sent, forwarded to you by our city manager with his reply. Am I correct?
I might understand that these last two, the 1 through 6 of 2858 and 1 through 6 of 435, are for UP or PAR 9?
PAR 9 is what I understand.
Okay. And Maybe I'm just getting old here, but I don't even see the dates that list out on when these people golfed. Am I missing that?
Those were reports that were submitted by Councilmember Crowley.
Oh, okay, fine. At the top it says 2007, April of 2007 through 2011. Is that correct? Is that what you see?
If that's what's on there.
Okay.
These are not city's records.
I understand. I'm getting to a point here. When we received the records for UP records, where we met late October with Ms. Mulvey, and the records that we got back were from 4UP. They were from 2015 onward, not 2014 backwards. The reason I bring that up, let me just see if I've got any other question before I start in my last time. My understanding from Councilman Crowley is that there's 598 tee times for the former mayor, Brad Sears, the one who resigned, the one who convinced the public to vote to do this, and that we don't know the number of guests with him. We understand that he didn't pay for carts. We don't know who was with him. And the question then would be it's reported that that he was using some passes that were granted to a developer.
I'm sorry, is this a
question? Right. I'm missing any listing of an organization's passes that Mayor Sears would have used. Are you aware? And let me point out, are you aware in any of the documents that were grammar requested with regards to golf that the name Brad Sears, former mayor of Cedar Hills, came up?
Objection. Are we extending the questioning beyond the 3 requests that are the subject of this hearing to go back to the 30 that have just been advised of today? Are you?
Yes, I am. And the reason is because the city, I'm going to demonstrate right now.
Yep. The question needs to be limited to the current request.
Okay. All right, I'll begin my final 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Would you please go to page 3 of this document that lists out the requests, the grammar requests we've made. At the bottom, you'll see that 8/12/2015, okay? That's the free rounds of golf. We had had a larger request. Do you see it at the bottom of page 3? I've highlighted it on my paper down here. There's two requests, one from Kurt Crosby and one from myself, okay. Ken Cromer. Do you see that? And it asks for free golf for just 1 week because the city said it's too onerous for us to answer this question and it'll cost you a lot of money. Well, gosh, that's interesting because then at the end there it says the city does not have records requested. So they could have known that with the original request, which I recall was approximately a year's worth of material, but we narrowed it to a week to be of assistance to the city. But they say the records don't exist. Par 9 went out of business December of 2014, reportedly. The city requires a one-year retention, which was shortened to 1 year in 2016, meaning it was longer before when this request was made. The city did not honor this request. They had records. They didn't provide them. Okay? This is the pattern. So allow me to ask, and I know I'm cutting in my own time, but I think you answered the question, Ms. Mulvey, that you never got a hold of. Is it correct that you did not get a hold of the... No? Sorry.
The witness questioning is over when you started your
closing. My apologies. I'm not used to this sort of thing.
I understand.
Thank you for your indulgence. We've asked for records that have not been given to us within time frames that the city had the records. And even we were asking before 2011 for these same kinds of records, and this PAR 9 or this report lists April of 2007 through 2011. I just find it fascinating that we've asked and asked and asked and been told the records don't exist, they don't exist, or we get handwritten records. And then finally, in recent times, we've gotten some of these records, but we've had to help them figure out how to manage their own records. We respectfully, Ms. Mulvey's right. She said that the requests are always similar. And they're similar because we can't figure out how to ask the question in a way that the words don't get parsed to where you didn't ask for exactly such and such or whatever. We keep asking about free golf. The citizens of Cedar Hills and the public generally has a right to know what its government is doing. We have been stonewalled for years. This is the latest situation. We ask that the committee order the city of Cedar Hills to provide a declaration on these records, whatever that may be, and declare that they have definitively given us all the records in writing with a current declaration, not an old one from back when they didn't have provided that we then got more records from, a current one, sworn under penalty of perjury. Lastly, if the city says that they can't trust these records, I wonder if the city would accept a sworn affidavit by Councilman Rob Crawley under penalty of perjury that he's provided the records back as he received them so that we can get these to the public. Barring that, if these records aren't official, is there any problem with us putting them out in the public? And we respectfully request that the city be ordered to fully comply with the updated answer. I'm sorry, I want to add one last thing. Tuesday night, I went to the owner of the company, which they couldn't find. He lives in North Pleasant Grove, not too far from Holly, actually. And what happened is that he said, yeah, we went out of business, and we sold our business December of 2014, and we sent a letter to every client saying, you've got 6 months to pull down whatever you want from these records before they're destroyed. The records were destroyed according to him, and the city should have known it. But instead, they chastise us publicly in letters and refuse to comply, refuse to give us updated answers. We just want the records and the city to come clean. Thank you for your time.
5 minutes. We need to be able to capture here.
I'm sorry. Just in response to his request that they're be a declaration that we fully complied with the request. I think Ms. Mulvey's testimony under oath provides that. Also, if you'll look at Exhibit R9 on the second page, it's the email that you'll find as part of this chain that's dated November 20th, 2017. And this is from Ms. Mulvey to Mr. Cromar. And the first two sentences, I think, also forecloses that. It says, thank you for your November 20th, 2017 email titled Official Appeal Regarding Grandma Request Fulfillment. The city does consider your grandma request completed and fulfilled, period. And then goes on to give him some language about how he might appeal if he so desires. I think
sorry, I'm not seeing where you're reading from.
Page. No, it's on page 10.
Sorry, second thank
you.
Page.
Thank you.
And the point being, I understand he wants two grounds for relief here. He wants us to confirm that we've done that, we've done that. And two, that we verify some records that we can't verify and authenticate just because they don't come from us and we haven't received them from the custodian of those records to have a chain. For those reasons, we think his appeal should be denied. On for him to speculate that there's other records that should have been produced in the past in response to prior requests, I think those should be ignored as they're not before the committee today. And unless the committee has further questions, we'll rest.
Any questions? All right, we'll move into deliberation. So at this time, I would ask that comments from the respondent and the petitioner will not be offered without a question from the committee. Is there anyone want to start a discussion or make a motion?
I'll start a discussion. I think we've had multiple instances of petitioners coming and governmental entities saying we've provided everything. And I think our stance as a committee has been to take the governmental entity at their word. And, you know, I mean, clearly we expect that people are truthful, but this committee doesn't go verify that they actually got everything that was responsive. I mean, we rely on the governmental entity to be honest in their what they put forward, but we've had multiple instances, it feels to me like, where people have come forward and the governmental entity said we provided everything. And so I think our position has always been that if they've provided all records that are responsive, then basically the appeal's denied because there's nothing to provide.
Right. I can appreciate petitioner's desire to establish a pattern, but it's not relevant to the subject of this hearing, which is did they or did they not comply with the request, the current request that is under appeal.
And it seems to me that they have, and it seems that in writing they've put that they've complied and have given testimony today that they've complied.
Certainly on record now. Email and with the state records committee now. So.
I'm not sure that there's an additional role for the state records committee, I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think, can we turn it down a little bit? I think we turned it up for the...
We've got a little feedback.
We're getting
there.
A lot of feedback. And I think we turned it up so we could hear the telephone testimony earlier. I think the difficulty that we have with multiple petitioners, these are citizen petitioners representing themselves, which is exactly what this committee's for, right? I appreciate the fact that they're representing themselves and not sending a lawyer to represent them. But what that means is they're not always really clear on what we can and can't do in the scope of our authority under Grandma. And under the rules of the committee. And all we're able to do at this point is listen to testimony that's relevant to the current request and make a judgment on that testimony. We cannot compel further action. So I think I'm just saying the same thing. I'm just trying to say it a different way. But there is a remedy, and I'm saying this for your benefit, is there is a remedy that once the committee renders a decision, you have the right to appeal that to district court. And in district court, you're de novo. You can bring anything into evidence that you want to, and start from scratch, I guess. It's up to the judge to determine what they can allow into evidence.
And also you have the option of discovery as well.
Right, right.
Which so, don't have here in administrative
right,
hearing.
Right. So is there a motion or a...
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just need some clarification on something, if I could, please. I was trying to figure out where they were talking about with regards to the records. The reason I asked about the final two records that are from the councilman is to understand when those were reported to have been delivered to us. I'm trying to understand if it's said that it was on the 17th of November.
And I think they didn't have an exact answer to that question because
it's relevant because that's why the appeal was made and the records were handed in 2 weeks ago. We're looking for an updated declaration in writing as per state code that says that they have fulfilled the thing. It should be a very simple thing.
Hey,
that's all I'm asking.
I understand.
Yeah.
And that should have been the focus of your time.
I believe that was quite clear, but for the sake of the...
Well...
Maybe not.
You asked the witness, the witness answered the question. They didn't have the information. So, I will acknowledge that you need this clarification. However, we're in deliberation now and we're about to render a decision. So I think we've said it out loud and the city can choose to acknowledge the need for clarification there. Or you can submit another request for that specific clarification. It was not clear to us in your testimony that was exactly why we were here. I'll just say that right up front.
It's in the clarification submission. And the point being,
okay, you submitted a lot of documentation. And as you stated before, we're a volunteer committee, and it's not reasonable to expect us to read every single word that you submitted. We try to do the best we can, and we rely heavily on your testimony to back up, you know, what you submitted.
Yeah, and so just to finish the thought, to let you get back to deliberation,
all right. Thank you.
I would suggest that we have not been definitively answered since those records came. That was our
request. I would say that's noted, but you're interrupting the deliberation.
I think to Holly's point, to your point, I mean, basically boils down to this. This is not our job to force records to be created that don't exist. If somebody says they don't have a record, we have to take them on their word. We can't force them to produce a record they claim they do not have. That's not what we can do. As you talked about, district court, other things that are options for them. Right now, city is saying this is what we have, this is what we've produced. We don't have these other records about free green fees or anything else. If they claim they don't have them, we can't order them to produce them. If they don't exist. I mean, we are going in circles here, much like the last putt I hit at Cedar Hills a couple weeks ago, which I did, by the way. But I don't think we can, I think what Holly's point is, it just that's the motion, so we can go. We can't act on
something. There's no motion, actually.
I know, but Holly's formulating a motion.
And to that point, I mean, you've got the section of grammar 63G-2-2018AI. In response to a request, a governmental entity is not required to create a record.
Right.
So obviously, if they're not required to create a record from grammar, we can't order creation of a record as well.
And I would say the other, I think, frustration on the part of the petitioner is that they feel like when they originally requested the record, it should have existed. Also not before the committee, and we're not empowered to enforce that the retention schedule compliance either, to my knowledge.
Yeah, that's out of our purview.
So, but that is also something that can be brought to the district court for
different sort of
realm. That gets more in the writ of mandamus realm of going to the district court, saying governmental entity should have done this or required to do this, they didn't do this, requesting relief from court, because the courts have much greater authority than we have.
All right, so is there a motion?
We have an additional comment or two.
Okay. Only if you make a motion when you're done. I'm just kidding.
So Mr. Cromar, I'm looking at your original appeal to the State Records Committee dated February 28, 2018. And there are a couple of things that you claim in here that I think have been addressed with this hearing. One is your official appeal. You're claiming that you are bringing the appeal for two reasons. One is the city claims it does not maintain the requested records, but you can't prove that they've been destroyed, or they can't prove. And then number two, that the city's failure to definitively respond. And I think we have addressed those. I think they have addressed that. I think you've got it on record here, and I think you do have it in writing. And I think you'll have it in the order when the order is issued, that all records that were responsive to this request have been made. So I hope that that fulfills your request, but that is my motion, that we deny the appeal based on that statute and any other statute that I'm supposed to put in. And
wow, that's reasonably specific. Thank you, Holly.
Basically, you cannot compel a governmental entity or anyone else to create records that don't exist, and that the city has been responsive in providing all records that are responsive to this request.
So what you're saying then is that the motion is that all records have been provided that have been responsive to the request made by Mr. Cromar, and that the city is not required to create any records as required, as stated in 63G-2-801-8AI.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Okay. And I want to make sure that we include that the city has testified that they have provided all responsive
records. Based upon testimony that's been presented at the hearing. Okay.
Is there a second to the motion? Motion made by Holly, seconded by Doug. Is there further discussion? We'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-1. That concludes the hearing. You'll receive...
Did you say 6-1?
Yeah, you said...
I'm sorry.
It's 6-1.
You did that earlier, too.
I don't know.
One
have I said
vacant.
That before today?
Yeah,
that
the first one you said 6-1. You're assuming the vacant person is going to vote against it.
Please know that for the record that I misstated the vote.
I wish that person was here.
So do we.
Yeah, we do.
The motion carries 6-0. That concludes the hearing. You'll receive an order from the committee it'll be issued within 7 business days, and you'll have 30 days to appeal to district court.
Thank you for your service.
At this time, we'll adjourn for lunch and reconvene at 12:20.